Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual with our Saturday afternoon show. And remember, tomorrow the Chicago Bears will be on the tube and also on radio, and they'll be playing the 49ers in San Francisco, a team that they should beat. This team has only won one game, and they had to scratch for that one. So the Bears, if they really open up tomorrow, I think that they should win that game. For those of you who like a diet of football on Sunday, there'll be a game also, early game, on television around noon, and then the Bear game will be on the tube around 3 o'clock Chicago time. We'll be talking sports today with an old pal of ours, Bob Verde, one of the town's outstanding sports writers, with a great newspaper, the Chicago Tribune. So we have many, many things to talk about in sports, and Bob will be with us in just about 1 minute. Our guest today, as I said, is one of the town's outstanding sports writers and an old buddy of ours, Bob Verde of the Chicago Tribune, whose last big event was the World Series. And, Bob, I thought it was really an outstanding series. Anytime you have two well-matched teams and it goes to seven games, you figure there's a lot of interest, a lot of excitement in the series.
Well, that's right, Bob, and despite the weather and the bobbles, I guess Dick Dozer of our staff had the best explanation. He said it was the best of the poorly played series ever. You know, the weather of the first three or four games hurt the feeling, but as you said, it went to a seventh game. And the other thing that was good about it was that the games were the thing. There was a very little off-field business. You didn't have Reggie Jackson blasting people and the Dodgers fighting within. It was really just a game, two good together teams, and the games were the thing.
Speaking of the Dodgers, how are they going to put that? It's like putting a doll back together again. How are they going to do that?
Well, they did toward the end of the year. They finished strong. They do need pitching, Bob, and maybe they'll dive into that free agent. Maybe they'll go for Nolan Ryan. I don't know, but their pitching really hurt them last year because certainly their hitting was as good as ever.
I've always had the feeling that Nolan Ryan is way overrated. He's about a 50-50 pitcher, and the kind of money that he gets and all that, I'd be amazed at a team investing in him because he's a wild man. One game he'll strike out 14 and walk 15, and his won and loss record isn't impressive at all.
No, it's really not. It's not that much over 500, but there's a lot of talk that the Houston Astros will make a bid for him. They are from his home. He's a Texan. He wants to go back, apparently, to Texas. They finished just a nose behind Cincinnati in the division, so they might figure he'll put them over the hump.
What about our two local teams, the White Sox and the Cubs? Were you surprised at the Cub managerial choice?
Not really. I know pretty much what Bob Kennedy looks for in a manager. I think I know, and he has high respect for Preston Gomez, who has that Dodger blood in him, and it really didn't surprise me. I think that Gomez will, like any other Cub manager, fall because the team doesn't have the horses. You know, I he could do a good job and finish 500, maybe, but what's 500?
You know, there's a theory that a pitcher doesn't make a good manager. There was one successful manager, the late Hutchinson, and I guess Lemon was a pretty good manager.
Yeah, I think Bob Lemon was the laissez-faire type manager where he just let the players play, and that worked for the Yankees, of course, the year before. And then last year they decided that they wanted Billy Martin back. So that's another strange situation. I imagine Steinbrenner's got to be scratching his head again this morning with all the reports.
Billy's in the news again.
Billy the Kid is on the loose. But there's another club that has to make some moves. The Yankees are getting old at key positions, and there are a lot of good teams in that division that are coming on, like Detroit, and certainly Baltimore had a great year. Boston is loaded, Milwaukee, so the Yankees have to make some moves.
And the Yankees have that tremendous payroll.
Yes, they do. You look at some of the teams with the big payrolls this year. Look at where Philadelphia finished with their payroll. what were they, 4 or 5 games over .500, if that, and then the Yankees. So, you know, I think every team has got to look back, take a look and see. When you see who won the division titles this year, Pittsburgh really didn't go into the free agent market very much. Baltimore, California, of course, did in a big way. Cincinnati not only didn't go into the free agent market, but lost the free agent of free agents, Pete Rose. So three of the four teams really were almost homegrown.
As it turned out, Rose didn't help Philadelphia much.
No, and that Ray Knight finished hitting only, I think, 13 points less than Rose. Ray Knight, who took over third for... But that Rose had a great year. It's pitching killed Philadelphia.
Here in Chicago, as you know, Bob, the Cubs and the White Sox continue to draw very well without very impressive credentials down on the field.
It's just a testament to the Chicago baseball fan. You venture to guess what these teams would draw. We had that one summer a couple years ago when they were both playing well for a while and the whole town was upside down. If we ever had a team that went into September really close or on top, I think everything would stop, you know. But really, neither team looks like it's on the brink right now of being a real contender. The White Sox have a lot of pitching, but they have a lot of holes, too, and they need a catcher. The Cubs, I think, need pitching. As I wrote earlier in the week, if you could just take the best of both teams, maybe you'd have one good team.
What was your observation on the move, getting rid of Mercer?
Well, they had to make room for Scott Thompson. Mercer was carrying a big salary. He wasn't going to get any better. They achieved what they wanted. They just got rid of him. They unloaded him. Whether they ended up with a little egg on their face because of what they paid for him, that's to be, you know, that's a matter of judgment, but certainly they went way overboard in paying him, and they were fortunate, I guess, to find a Yankee team that would buy him back.
Yes. You know, Jerry Holzman said here, right where you're sitting about 5 weeks ago, that within three or four years, the Cubs would have lights. I rather doubt that as long as there's a Wrigley still ahead of it.
Bob Kennedy said, the Cubs general manager said, that he and Mr. Wrigley, that's Bill, are talking about putting lights in now. What that means, who knows? But he did say that it is an ongoing discussion. Uh-huh. So maybe it isn't that far-fetched. Certainly they draw well enough without lights.
But I can see them drawing about $2.5 million with lights.
And if they had a good club, the sky would be the limit, you know. But there is that element about Wrigley Field, the day games and holding those 15,000 seats back for whoever wakes up in the morning, sees the sunshine, and wants to go to a ball game. It would be a different, it would be a change, but if there's added revenue and lights, I think that the club, as a bottom line decision, might have to decide, well, this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to put lights in and see if we can draw more people, put more money into the farm system, go into the free agent market, and become a better club.
You know, there are very few clubs in the major leagues, with all the clubs in the two major leagues, where you can go out and sit in the sunshine. Most all of them just have a steady diet of night ball, and you see a day game on a Sunday, right?
That's right, but it all boils down to the revenue. You know, if you have day games in Pittsburgh, that's a blue-collar town, Bob. You can't draw on a Tuesday afternoon in Pittsburgh. They have trouble drawing on a Tuesday night. So the lights, a lot of it is just strictly revenue.
You know, you hit on something there, because the fellow that worked with me, Milo Hamilton, is a broadcaster with the Pirates. And I wonder why, when it comes to attendance, that Pittsburgh does so poorly. They've got attractions. They got one of the best ball players and one of the nicest ball players in the history of the game, in Stargell. I mean, he's another Roberto Clemente. But they don't draw in Pittsburgh.
They drew better this year, even before, of course, they won the series. Pete Peterson, the general manager, said one of the reasons they didn't draw well last year before, was that they just didn't promote the team. But still, you look at what they drew, and you figure you put them in Comiskey Park, and you've got to get close to 3 million. I mean, they would light this town up. They would light a lot of towns up. Pittsburgh is a blue collar town, as we mentioned, and somebody else explained to me there, one of the veteran Pittsburgh writers said, Pittsburgh is a savers town. It's a labor town, and they're likely to lay back and pick their spots on a game rather than just say, well, on a Saturday, well, let's go to the ballpark. It's a savers town. They'll maybe hold for the big event, you know, the Sunday doubleheader, the jacket day, the Steelers on a Sunday. They're not likely to just go spend willy-nilly because it is a very much of a union town.
Have you had any opportunity since the season ended to talk with Bill Veeck out on the south side? Or wonder what he has in the offing or if he has any plans in the offing.
I haven't talked to him, but I saw that he reseeded his garden, which is nice because the field at the end of last year or in August there where they had all those problems really was a terrible sight. But he's very busy denying rumors that he wants to sell. I hope that he hasn't lost his desire to own a club, because if he has, you know, his whole idea of baseball was to be fun. And if it's not fun for Bill anymore, you know, that's the time for him to get out. He doesn't need the aggravation.
Well, I'd hate to see Veeck leave baseball. I think he's been one of the outstanding figures in contributing things to baseball all over the years, and baseball would miss him. I can't imagine him being out of the game.
Well, I don't think he can either, but again, if it's become a job to him, then that's completely contrary to everything he stands for. He likes to go out to the park and have fun just like the fans, and if he's lost that, then he should leave.
What do you think the Sox really need?
I think they should get a catcher, go out and get a catcher, get a long ball hitter. Obviously, they'll have to trade some of that pitching for it, but, they've got lots of it. Everybody's congregating on their doorstep now because they've not only got a lot of pitching, but a lot of left-handed pitching, which everybody wants.
Who are they going to lose in the area of free agents?
Well, it looks like Milt May is gone and
Orta.
George Orta. Good stick, but again, very typical of what they have a lot of, singles and doubles hitters. They need a thumper, a game breaker.
You remember the Roy Seaver case?
Oh, yeah.
I hope we don't have another one of those affairs.
Well, I think they've certainly got all winter to study and do their homework, and got a lot of marketable assets as far as pitching goes.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him as one of the town's outstanding sports writers, Bob Verde of the Chicago Tribune, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is one of the town's outstanding sports writers and an old friend of mine, Bob Verde of the Chicago Tribune, who wrote an interesting column the other day, somewhat provocative. I don't know whether everybody would agree with him, where he almost predicted the demise of hockey as a big league sport. What brought that column on?
Well, I certainly didn't mean to be that strong, and I by no means expect the NHL to go under tomorrow or in the next year or 10 years, but they've taken a good game and really watered it down to such a pathetic level now, Bob, where the interest all over, even in the strongholds, is fading. Boston, 9,000 for a game the other night. They've got to straighten out their game, sell it again. If it means Clarence Campbell took a lot of heat for a statement he made the other day that the league is too big, but it is. You know, the part of the problem with hockey is identity, and what they've done this year is add 4 more teams with 80 more players who nobody knows.
Yeah.
And it's hard, and fans are going to continue to pick their spots. When Montreal comes in, they might go, the Boston or the Rangers, but... After that, who's Edmonton? You know, where is Edmonton? It's very hard. And this is a hockey city. Can you imagine the fans in Atlanta, where they're still trying to sell the game and trying to tell a fan in Atlanta to pay $11 to go see the Edmonton Oilers? It's very hard.
I'm surprised that Billy Wirtz, who you know and is a friend of yours and a friend of mine who's on the Board of Governors, would okay that expansion business because they water the product down tremendously. And as you say, it brings people into the game that no one's familiar with. They're playing in areas that you wonder whether they can attract a full house occasionally. So that expansion, as it has in baseball, poses problems.
Yeah, but there are probably more baseball players around than good hockey players, Bob. And the other thing that's hurt hockey, I think, is the balanced schedule where every team is playing every other four times. I mean, that just really knocks any rivalry that you might have out of the game.
They play 22 games at home against each club and 22 games at that club's home base?
They play two against each team at home and two away. And then at the end of this season, we have the glorious possibility of having 16 of the 21 teams in the playoffs. In other words, they'll play 8 months to knock five teams out, which is ridiculous.
I never could see how the people who really run the game, and I'm talking about the Board of Governors, agree to that playoff system where practically, the dogs get in, into the playoffs, and it doesn't make sense. Baseball has the ideal arrangement where they have the one playoff and then the World Series, and that is absolutely perfect. And I don't see why that formula isn't adopted by other sports.
The playoff formula has been a great boon to baseball. It's really hyped interest. The attendance is better than it's ever been, and the only argument that you get, and maybe it's a valid one, is that the playoff itself should be a 4 of 7 because that's so important, obviously, to get into the series. That it's a 3 of 5, it can be boom, boom, and you're out. But maybe the playoffs should be a 4 of 7 and maybe tighten up the regular season schedule a little bit. You got the owners in baseball a little reluctant to do that, too.
I was a little bit surprised at Cooperstown when I was fortunate enough to get into the Hall of Fame when one of the fellows in your profession, who also got an award and got up to accept it, made a talk saying, first thing he said was, to my consternation with all the Bowie Kuhn sitting there and the president of both leagues sitting there and all the Hall of Fame members sitting on the platform, he made the statement to start in with that the fun is going out of baseball. Nobody wants to cover it anymore. Well, I was amazed at him saying a thing like that in front of all these people.
I can't imagine that. I think the game is...
Dick Young.
Well, Dick still covers it, so obviously it's still some fun for him. I think what he might mean is that the almighty dollar has become so prominent in the game, but it's still
the best buy in the world.
Certainly, and you have had so many instances in the World Series of players who are playing hard and not thinking about what kind of check they were going to get. So the game is still the thing.
I agree with you heartily, and if you go down to a theater today and buy a couple of theater tickets, well, you get stuck for about $35 for two seats. Where baseball, you can get a box seat for $6.
That's right. It's still...
And see a better show.
That's right. And I think that, your attendance figures speak for themselves, Bob. And as the dollar gets tighter, I don't know if I should be saying this in a bank, but, as the dollar gets tighter, baseball is going to be even better. It'll be even a better bargain next summer than it was last summer.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's the greatest game in the world. I really love it. I can see a ball game every day, which I did for 40 years. Are you going out to the baseball meetings?
In Toronto, no. Dick Dozier covers them for us. He's our...
What do you anticipate happening? Anything?
Well, probably some more talk on the DH. That was a real... Earl Weaver was very upset during the World Series that he wasn't able to use Lee May, which was a vital part of his winning 102 games in the regular season. Of course, I don't really think it would have hurt the Pirates too much if they could have thrown another. Let's say they'd have had the DH in the series. That means they'd have just thrown another one of their sticks in there. And they certainly do. They got as much hitting as Baltimore. So when Weaver says that was one of the reasons he didn't win, he should think about the fact that if the Pirates had 10 men hitting instead of their pitcher, that it wouldn't have hurt them one bit.
There's quite a bit of opinion that Weaver is the outstanding manager in baseball. I rather think he does a remarkable job. We had him here when the last summer when the team was in town. He's a very affable, nice guy, as you know, and an interesting man to talk with.
He is. His whole life is baseball. He's a tremendous strategist. He's a psychologist. I can't remember him having a bad ball club, even though the talent, even this year's team, you look at that, the lineup on the on paper of the Orioles, and you would say, still to this day, even though they came within one game of winning the World Series, that probably the Red Sox have better talent. I don't know if you would agree with me, Bob, but Weaver just extracts the. I guess Steve Stone, the former Sox and Cubs pitcher, put it best. He says he has such a great knowledge of his personnel. He says he's the least likely manager to try putting a square peg in a round hole.
That's really a good way to put it. You know, he was criticized in one of the games he lost, where in a very close game they had runners on first and second, and he wouldn't bunt. Remember that?
Yeah, and he was criticized for not walking Madlock in that fifth game. His philosophy on the bunt is an interesting one, and of course with the DH in his league, it makes it even more valid. He says, as soon as I make one of my batters bunt the ball on a sacrifice, he says, I'm taking one-third of my inning away. I'm giving them an out. It is exactly what you say. It's a sacrifice. And he says, no matter where I bunt the man to, I've still got to get another hit, or else he's just left out there. So what have I done? I've taken one-third of my inning away, and plus I'm still in the same situation. I need a base hit. He said, just give me the home run and the pitcher who pitches a three-hitter, and I'll win you a lot of games, and he has.
You know, he was fortunate in coming up with a third baseman to replace Brooks Robinson, who is a tremendous ball player.
He is. DeCinci. And whenever he bobbled a ball there in Pittsburgh, they have an organist who kept playing Me in My Shadow. In other words, he's still playing in the shadow of the great Brooks Robinson. He's a good ball player, DeCinci, and a pretty good hitter, too.
Well, it was an exciting series. You must have enjoyed it.
It really was. The weather, of course, detracted from it, but the Pirates showed a tremendous amount of, even when they went down 3-1, they didn't give up, and I've really got to hand it to Tanner. You know, Tanner, when he was here, was the rah-rah type, and everybody kind of looked at him cross-eyed that this will wear out over 162 games. And when he went to Pittsburgh, the same thing. But I really believe with that unique personality that the Pirates have, that he's a very integral part of it. He is a very cheery, upbeat sort of a man who, by the same token, physically frightens any of his players. I don't think any of those Pirates, loud and boisterous as they are, would dare challenge Chuck Tanner. And you look at his record, he took a decent ball club here, finished it only five games out against a good Oakland club, went to Oakland, almost won it there with a team that had been deprived of a lot of good ball players. He's had good teams in Pittsburgh, and now he's won a World Series, and he has ascended to the position of one of the best managers in baseball, I think. And it's unfortunate that he left here, but he's happy, and he's got himself a tremendous situation in Pittsburgh.
I agree with you, Bob. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Bob Verde, one of the town's outstanding sports writers with the Chicago Tribune, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Bob Verde of the Chicago Tribune. Bob, if you had to, and it's the time is limited here for you to do that, how would you rate the sports today in popularity?
Well, we take the Tribune takes readership surveys, and baseball is number one. I think they divided down to pro and college football, and they're right neck and neck. College basketball has come up tremendously. Hockey, which used to be a strong third, has dropped. The bottom has dropped out of it, unfortunately. Pro basketball, I think, has dropped a little, particularly in this town. And around the NBA, with the large markets hurting right now, the Knicks only drew 7,000 the other night. You know, that's the key city in the NBA. So I think that, to summarize, baseball is number one.
You think that the return of Bobby Hull would have helped here?
Yes, it would have put a lot of people in the seats, Bob. Now, whether the product on the long term would have profited, I think certainly he can still score goals. They are going with youth, and obviously he's 40 now, but he would have, he might have rekindled a lot of interest in this town in hockey.
I love the game myself. I could see three or four games a week if I...
Well, I, Bob, I feel the same way, and I didn't write that the other day because I didn't love it. I wrote it because I think it's a great game, and they're just letting it flounder. They're looking the other way, and they've got to confront the problems rather than avoid them.
Our guest today, and we've been delighted to have him, is an old friend, Bob Verde, one of the top sports writers in the country, and he works for a great newspaper, the Chicago Tribune. And we've enjoyed his comments here today on our program, as I'm sure that you have. Next week, our guest will be George Langford, the sports editor of the Tribune. That's next week at the same time, George Langford, the sports editor of the Tribune. Have a nice day, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next weekend at the same time.